Let us all say amen. I want to thank all the brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service on this afternoon. I want to thank all of you, those that were able to brave the cold, amen, and to come back this afternoon to hear another portion of the word. For those that are not able to be with us because of reasons they are not able to, we're thankful for them also, amen. So we always like to begin in Acts 2:42 and 47. We've shown, the Lord shows us from the writings of Luke that when they first assembled after ascension of Christ, there are five acts of worship, Paul, Luke wrote that when he said in verse 42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, fellowship, that's giving back to the Lord, and in the breaking of bread, that's communing with the Lord for what he did for us by suffering on the cross, and in prayer. And then he said in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we find not only are we to praise God, but the Bible shows us that on that day they added about 3,000 souls. And so if you're here on this afternoon and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, I want you to understand that the Bible teaches, the Bible said the church, there's only one church. The church belongs to Christ according to Acts 20 and verse 26. Why it belongs to him? Because he purchased it with his own blood. And no one is saved from their sins until they have obeyed the Lord. I'll share with you those acts that one must do. There are also five acts that one must participate in order for them to be added to the church. No one is a child of God until they have obeyed God and did what God has commanded. You must obey the will of God. Amen? Amen. So if you're here visiting with us this afternoon, want you to know that. We want you to know the water is ready. One must be baptized into Jesus Christ, having heard the gospel that Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. Paul let the Corinthians know that, that they had to hear that. Then they had to believe that message. Then one must repent of their sins. Repentance means that the life I've been living without Christ. Repentance means I turn now and I start trying to walk with Christ. Then I make the confession found in Acts 8:37 that Jesus Christ died. Not only did I know that Jesus Christ died for my sin, but I make that confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch made that confession. And he was then water baptized, and he was added to the church. So if you're here this this afternoon, you have not done that. Want you to know with all the love I can muster that you must do that in order to have an opportunity or even a chance to go to heaven. It begins by one. We talked about this morning. We first magnify Christ in our life when we are water baptized. Amen? And so this afternoon, for the next few moments, my wife told me, Bill Stroud, you get up there, you better come down to church. She told me a certain time to preach. Yeah, I told her, I said, I'm going to tell the church. She said, get up there and tell the church. I said, you act like you're from the hood. She said, I'm from the hood. I said, that's all right. I said, all right. Bill Stroud, you got a time limit. And I told her, I'm going to stay within that time limit. Amen. Yeah. Sister Stroud, see, she just like y'all. Y'all, Brother Stroud, get up and get. Yeah, look at that. And I'm talking about Jane Brown get down. I'm talking about get down. Yeah. Yeah. But I understand that. I understand that. But again, that's why you're thankful for those that make the time to come back to hear another portion of your God's word. And I know I'm respectful of the fact that when I do, as I did this morning, go over a little longer than I had planned, I try to give that time back, being respectful. Amen? Yeah, I have to understand, too. She said, Brother Stroud, about 20 minutes. I said, hey, Sister Stroud, get your bad self. Yeah. So let me get started, because I know the clock running. Get us down from here. Amen? So what we do, meet me and Matthew. Thank you, brother, for reading our scripture. So this morning, I shared about, for to me to live is Christ. And hopefully we're seeing, and I think my sister sent me a very good image this afternoon, or this morning rather, about the fact that more Christ and less of me. Amen? More of Christ, less of me. Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get there myself, that people see less of me and see more of Christ in me. Remember, that's the theme that Paul had for chapter 1. Christ is our life. And when you find that when Christ becomes your life, some of the challenges that we sit around with, we'll let them go, wow, I want people to see Christ. Yeah, and so this afternoon, my time is running. Come on, Sister Stroud. Yeah, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the scripture into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, here's my title, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus, in this text, gives us a biblical prescription for when we are faced with a temptation that can cause one to sin. He responded with the word of God. Yeah, we'll be there. Bread may be able to sustain physical life. However, we need the word of God to sustain the spiritual nature of man. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Let us look for the next few moments at this text and the situation from which Jesus referred. Meet me in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I got three verses of scriptures that I'm going to use on this evening. Amen? On this afternoon. Three verses of scripture I want us to look at. Deuteronomy. That's in the Old Testament? All right then. Okay. Chapter 8. We want to find what Jesus referred to in that text, and let us try to bless us on this evening from the text. So again, what we're talking about again is about, we talked this morning about how Christ, Paul said, for me, it's not for me to live, it is Christ to live in me. But I want you to see what Jesus talked about living in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm again at verse number 1. I have three scriptures. And the message will be yours on tonight. I extend the invitation, which I've already given it. I'll extend it in its totality. Note what the Bible said. Deuteronomy, Moses wrote, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. So now we find God begins with an official order to be obedient unto all his command. No, God, God not only tells us to be obedient, but God gives measurement to our obedience by saying all the commands, yeah, which I have commanded you today. We are not to only obey the commands which we like. Yeah, notice now in the text, verse 1, there are three motivations for obedience that God gave to them, his people, his children, during that day. Number one, he said, that you may live. Notice now, three motivations. He said, that you may live. Secondly, that you may multiply. And thirdly, that you will go in and possess the land. So God told them the reason for their obedience, that you might live. One, also that you might multiply. Thirdly, that you may possess the land. Well, what we want to do, we want to obey the commands of God that we might live. Notice he said in Ephesians, the Bible talks about children, obey your parents, that it may be good that you may live. Yeah, you may live. So again, obedience to God can extend our life by doing those things that God has command. So then secondly, verse number 2, we find that again, many of God's commands, I want to share this here, that are conditional. God will oftentimes give us commands, but they are conditional commands. They are based on the fact that we do what God says. If we do this, God will bless us. Amen? Then he told him in verse number 2, he said, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wilt keep his commandments or no." So again, he told him now, God said that remembrance is very important. Our remembrance of God working in our lives are designed, notice now, to humble us, to test us, and allow us to really know whether we will keep God's commandments. Amen? Amen? So we have to look at the Word of God, and I have to look at what all that God has done in my life. It ought to humble me. Right. Yeah, when I look at what God has brought me through in these 64 years that God has allowed me to be on the face of the earth, I need to remember how God brought me through some tough stuff. Yes, sir. Yeah, I need to remember that. That's what he wanted them to remember. Not only that, now, also knowing and humbling me, the word prove means to test you. God is going to test, and what God does, he tests our faith. Now, God, let me say this here. God never tests us to see whether we are sin or not. So when some people say, "Well, the Lord tempted me to see what I'm going to do," God never tempts man to sin. The devil does that. God simply tempts us or tests us so we can show our faithfulness to God. Yeah, that's why Paul in Corinthians letter, he said that there's no temptation taken you that is not common unto man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He said, but those things that were, he said, but God is faithful, which will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. So God, when he tests us, it's only to allow us, notice now, to know what was in your heart. God already knows what's in our heart. God allows us to see what's in my heart. God lets me think of Brother Quincy this morning, challenged the brothers that we have the boldness to stand for what is right and to stand against that which is wrong. Excellent lesson for all the brothers. Understand, we got to stand on the Word of God. Yeah, and it doesn't matter, come what may, put on your big boy pants and deal with it. Amen. Yeah, so we got to understand that sometimes you have to stand. Sometimes Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in his letter to Timothy, how he said, "When I call, no man answer." Sometimes you may have to stand by yourself. Yeah, but you still got to stand and let the chips fall where they may. Yeah, but he said that the purpose of it, I'm tested, I'm humbled, but also that I may know. Notice that. To know what was in thy heart. God already knows. It allows me to know whether or not I will keep the commandments of God. Amen? And then verse number 3. Paul says, and notice what God did. He humbled thee. Humbled thee. How do you pronounce that word? Humbled? The H is silent? Thank you, Brother Curvey. Yeah, that was Thomas Covey, not the singer. That was the preacher. That he may humble. How'd that sound? That he may humble thee. And notice now, watch what God did now. And suffer thee to hunger, and to feed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. That, watch it. Anytime you see the word that, whatever comes behind it, what God wants us to do. That make sense? That, notice what he said, that he might make thee know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. God sustained the Israelites by feeding them with food from above. God allows us to hunger so that we will see our need for him spiritually. That's why God allows us, and that's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said that ye that are poor in spirit, what we have to understand when Lord is saying poor in spirit, we need to always live as though we are in poverty spiritually. We all always need the Lord. I am Horace Stroud is always poor in spirit. I am destitute in spirit. I need the word of God. I need to apply the word of God. That's how I fill myself up. That's what the Lord was saying. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Yeah, so I'm always needing something spiritually from the Lord. Our experiences are designed to test our faith and to show what is in our hearts. Yeah, that's why God told him, said, I allowed you to hunger to see what y'all was going to do. Yeah, because they wanted to kill Moses out there. You know, sometimes people turn on the preacher. Yeah, but the Lord said in the text, what he was doing is, let me say this to us as I'm moving toward a close. While we are in the wilderness of life, it will make known whether we obey the commandments or not. All of us go through stuff. All of us go through trials. All of us have faults. All of us have weaknesses. But during my weaknesses and with my faults, I still have to obey God. There's never a justification for me not obeying the will of God. Never. Yeah. The message this afternoon is that we live spiritually by our obedience to the commands of our Heavenly Father, who provides spiritual food from heaven, and it is served up every day in the B-I-B-L-E. That's it. That's my lesson on this afternoon. We have to live by, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. None of us. It's not about the physical food that we live by. It's the spiritual food. They got manna from above. We get food from above. It's called the Word of God. The Holy Spirit gave it to men. Men wrote it down in a book. And it's our responsibility to learn it and to apply it. It's my responsibility that I take the Word of God and I present it in its simplest form that all of us can partake of it. We can eat it. We can digest it. And most importantly, we can apply it to our lives. If there's someone today that is not a Christian, you have the opportunity to become a Christian. Again, I said already, you have to hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to believe that gospel. You have to then repent of your sins. You'll come up here, you'll make the confession of what you now believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your sins. When you are water baptized, Jesus, by the blood he shed on the cross for you, by faith, blood is in the water. Now when you come up out of the water, you are now a new person. You are a Christian. You are now a child of God. Does anyone today that like to obey invitation on this afternoon? As my brother come up and sing it, we bid you come together. We stand as we sing a verse over him. Thank you very much.